All right. There's a whole lot of folks out of town this weekend, and so the next part of our Romans 8 that we've been going through is verses 26 and 27, which is incredibly important. So we're going to wait till next week to do that, okay? So what I'd like for everybody to do is just be reading Romans 8, 26 and 27, just two verses. Who can commit to reading two verses by next week? No, just be thinking about it, because it's an incredibly important and practical aspect of what we've been talking about, and it's about how the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. All right? God has given us the Holy Spirit to help us in the weakness of this human condition, this reality of being new people of God in the midst of fallenness and the weakness that's associated with that. And the Holy Spirit helps us in that regard. And so we'll talk about that next week. This morning, what I want to talk about is something kind of near and dear to my heart, because I love the 4th of July. You know, I don't want to be sacrilegious and say I like it better than Christmas. But, okay, well, almost as much as Christmas. Definitely more than Easter. No, that's bad too, isn't it? I'm sorry. No, I love Easter too. But it's one of my favorite times of the year, because it's just a reminder of what a blessing it is to live in liberty. Man, when we were over in India, it was just amazing how those people were so oppressed where they lived, and they really put their lives on the line just to worship God, and they did it anyway. And then here we are, and we've got total freedom to do it, and it's like we've got to have our arms twisted. But it's just you got to love God, and you got to love the liberty that He's given us. I do, and I love our nation. I mean, I love the fact that our founding fathers, they did something remarkable. And really something that had never been done before in the history of mankind. And what they did was they framed a system of government where the people of this nation could live in freedom. And freedom from really two equally destructive slave masters. Now, it's interesting today when you listen, we don't ever talk about politics in church. I'm not going to talk about it this morning much. But when I almost can't listen to political dialogue, because it's so contentious, and it's just so, it so misses the point. It's like, that's not the heart of the matter, what you're talking about. The way things, politics is framed now, it's like you have two ends of the spectrum. One end is, is what we call liberalism, and the other end is what we call conservatism. And that was never the way that the spectrum was understood when our nation was being founded. I mean, there was a spectrum that they were trying to bring a balance for the system of government that they came up with, but it was a spectrum where they were trying to bring liberty from both ends of the spectrum. And on one end of the spectrum, you had tyranny, which is living under an oppressive authority. They didn't want the people of this nation to have to live under the oppression of a wicked king or a wicked ruler or a wicked system. So that was on the one hand. On the other hand, they knew that no free people could live in the tyranny of another, the other end of the spectrum, which is anarchy, which is no authority at all. So on the one hand, you have a wicked oppressive authority tyranny. On the other hand, you have no authority at all. And so what they were trying to do was to come up with a system where we as the people of the United States, which is really similar to the system that God has come up with, or we as the people of God, live in what's the radical middle, in between the two, what Jesus called the narrow path that leads to life. It's walking in the radical middle, between the two extremes, between the two expressions of tyrannical authority on the one hand and no authority at all on the other. Tyranny is basically just the oppressive rule of a cruel an unmerciful authority. And who wants to live under that? On the other hand, anarchy, you know, is no authority of all, at all. I shouldn't say it's no authority at all, because when you're in anarchy, actually there is an authority, and the authority is self-centeredness, self-preservation. You become the authority. In fact, in the biblical story, there was a time when God's people were living in anarchy because they had rejected God as their king, and yet they had no human king at all. It's in the book of Judges, which over and over again in that book, it says that everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Everybody did what was they felt like was best, based on whatever they thought was best, which was usually self-preservation, self-centeredness, self-orientation. So, you know, the founders of our nation, they set out to establish a form of government that would never be characterized by tyranny or by anarchy. And in doing so, they actually, and I don't think they did this purposefully. You know, I really think that the Holy Spirit was working amongst these men to frame a system of government that actually mirrored the system of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, which the Lord wants us to live in. Because that's a kingdom also that is free from both tyranny and anarchy. And so what they came up with was very much mirrored the kingdom of God. Very much mirrored the system of authority that God wants us to live in. Because we know that in Christ Jesus, the grace of God has freed us from tyranny. And, on the other hand, the love of God has freed us from anarchy. So the grace of God frees us from life under tyranny, and the love of God frees us from the life of self-orientation and self-centeredness and anarchy. Now I'm going to explain, what I want to do is explain what I mean by both of these and relate it scripturally to how we're called to live. Let's start with tyranny. Now, what is the great tyranny under which fallen mankind lives? All right? What is the great tyranny under which fallen mankind lives? It's actually an oppressive power that enslaves all of fallen mankind. Now, what would you say that tyranny is? Sin, right? It's the power of sin. It's not Satan. Satan helped bring it about, but it's sin. It's a power that works hand in hand to bring us into oppression and slavery with God's greatest enemy, death. Sin works hand in hand with death and holds us, the two together, holds us into a terrible oppression, into what really is the scripture describes as slavery. Look on your sheets, Romans 5:12. It says, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, in this way death came to all people because all sinned. You know, fallen man, and you realize, I mean, I'm going to include you women too. We're talking about being inclusive. When I say man, I mean mankind, okay? You can't have it both ways. You know, fallen man can't help but sin because they're living under a power, and that power is sin. And there's a helplessness that comes with being in the grip of sin that inevitably leads to death. Now, can you imagine a more tyrannical rule than one that kills you? I mean, that's as tyrannical as you can get, right? Now the good news is that God in Christ Jesus has set us free from the tyrannical rule of sin. That's when you can say yay. All right. How's he done that? Well, the scripture says that those who are in Christ have actually died to the authority of sin in their lives. We've died to the rule of sin in our lives. So, you know, when Christ died to sin on the cross, those who are in him died to sin also, which that includes us, right? We died to that authority. That sin no longer, the authority of sin no longer has power over us because we've died to it. We're no longer alive to it. Look at the next scripture, Romans 6:6. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin may be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. So, not just some, but everyone who's in Christ Jesus has been set free from the tyrannical rule of sin. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't sin, that we don't commit individual acts of rebellion against God's authority. No, what that means is that we're now free to live differently. See, people who are fallen, who aren't in Christ, who are under that tyrannical power of sin, they can't help it. They'd have no choice. They're under that rule. They're enslaved to the rule of sin. But those who are in Christ now have died to that rule and that authority in their lives, and so now we're free to choose to live differently. We're empowered to say no to that rule because it really has no power over us anymore. Now, we're all, you know, in the midst of the fallenness around us, we're all going to, you know, be tempted and stumble or whatever, and, you know, and momentarily fall back into that. But we're not enslaved to it anymore. That's the message of the scripture. We're no longer under the tyranny of sin. We're no longer slaves to sin. And what that means is that in Christ, we're free to live a new way. Again, that's good news. So, the grace of God has set us free from the tyrannical rule of sin in our lives. But there's another tyrannical authority that the grace of God has also set us free from. Okay? All fallen men are under the tyrannical authority of sin. But there was another tyrannical authority that God himself actually placed on his people for a period of time until the liberator, Christ, would come and bring the grace necessary to set us free from all tyranny. What was that tyrannical authority that God himself placed on his people? It was the law, the tyranny of the law. So, you know, how was the rule of law tyranny? You know, even though the law itself was good, and it represented to Israel the true nature of God and the righteousness of God, the reason the law was tyrannical, a tyrannical form of authority, was that it actually placed requirements on the people of God without empowering them to live by those requirements. It was an external authority that brought absolutely no change in the being themselves. And because it brought no change in the being themselves, then the only way to keep that authority, to live under the requirements of it, was by the power of self, which that self still being fallen and enslaved to the tyranny of sin. And so it's like there was no way that you could live in the power of a fallen being under the authority of law and keep that law. That's what we see throughout the whole course of the nation of Israel. Trying to live under that authority, it was oppressive, it was tyrannical. In fact, Paul described it as a cursed way to live. Look at Galatians 3. We'll just read verse 10 to begin with. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. As it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Now, who, living under the power of sin, the way the scripture describes, enslaved by sin, could do everything written in the book of the law. Who could do that? Nobody. No one could do that. You know, the curse of the law is the tyranny of its rule. It was a cursed way to live. It put demands on those living under authority, its authority, but it in no way empowered them to live the way that it demanded. And so the way it played itself out is, that curse, is on the one hand, you had people who were pretty good at keeping it. You know, the Pharisees were actually pretty good at keeping it. Paul said, as far as the righteousness of law, you know, he was blameless. He was very good. He was a very good law keeper. But what did that good law keeping engender in his heart that was contrary to the nature of God? Pride and self-righteousness. So if you're good at keeping law, the curse is that you have pride and self-righteousness. If you fail at keeping law, the curse is shame and condemnation. Both ways are cursed way to live. And that's not my words, that's Paul's words. That's the scripture's words. You know, living under law without the power of the Spirit to transform us into new beings had to be one of the most frustrating ways possible to live. Knowing what the righteous requirements of God were, but not being empowered to live that way? And that's exactly what Paul's talking about in Romans 7, about the frustration of life without the Spirit, without Christ, just having law and trying to live that way just through the power of one's fallen self. Man, you see what God set us free from? Now, how can we not be the most thankful people on the face of the earth? I mean, really? See, the grace of God in Christ Jesus, you know, just as it freed us from the tyranny of sin, has also freed us from the tyranny of living under law. That's good news too. Now, Paul summarizes, look at 6:14. That section in Romans 6 where he's talking about grace and its relationship to sin and the law, this is how he summarizes it. Romans 6:14. For sin shall no longer be your master because you're not under the law, but under what? There's a new authority that we're now under, and that authority is the grace of God. Woo! That's the new authority that we live under. See, you see, the law could never free us from slavery to sin. But guess what can? Grace. The grace of God frees us from that slavery, frees us from that bondage. It frees us from that tyranny. In fact, the grace of God has freed us from both tyrannies. It's freed us from the tyranny of sin, and it's freed us from the tyranny of law. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus put it this way when he was speaking to those who were still living under both tyrannies. You realize when you read the Gospels and the words of Jesus to the people he's speaking to, okay? He's speaking to people who are universally living still under both tyrannies. And you've got to keep that in mind as you read the words of Jesus. Who's he talking to? Lots of times he's answering questions for Pharisees, and people try to apply it as if he's answering questions to a Christian. No. You got to realize who's he talking to. And who he's talking to universally in the Gospels is people who are still living under both of those tyrannies, because they had not been set free from sin, nor had they been set free from law. Now look at what he said. One of the things he said. I'm not going to look at all of them. Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. See, mankind was not created to wear a yoke of sin. He was not created to wear a yoke of law. You know, those were burdens that caused people who were living under them to chafe and to bleed. That's the imagery there. There's a yoke on them that didn't fit. The wearing of that yoke caused them to not be who they were supposed to be, who they were created to be, and it irritated them. It frustrated them. Jesus said in the scripture that it's time to change yokes. I've heard people teach, you know, that's talking about a double yoke and Jesus is on one side and you're on the other. No, that's not what it's talking about. He's saying change yokes. The yoke that you're wearing, the yoke of sin and law, you were not made to wear. There's a different yoke. It's my yoke, and it's an easy yoke to wear. It's a burden that's light, and it's the yoke of grace, which frees us from the other. It's exactly what he was saying. Jesus is saying there's a whole new way of living that's available in me and by the grace of my Father in heaven. It frees us from a life of tyranny and it empowers us to live a whole new way. See, grace is both things. It's not just the freedom from tyranny, but it's also the power to live a new way. Sin was the power that kept us living a different way. Grace is the power that enables us to live the new way, according with the new being, the new creature in true freedom, liberty. Now let's go back to Galatians 3. I'll read the whole paragraph this time. You got to love Paul, the way he puts this into context. I mean, the freedom that God brought him by one encounter with Jesus Christ blows me away, because he was the ultimate legalist, the Pharisee of Pharisees. One encounter with Jesus Christ changed him forever. Now, it took a while for his mind to catch up with where his spirit was after that, but his mind did catch up, and he began to see all of those scriptures that he had known before for what now they truly were as revealed by Christ Jesus. You know, this letter to the Galatians is all about freedom from these tyrannies. Galatians 3:10. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. As it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. I mean, that just sounds, man, just reading that is burdensome, isn't it? Phew! Clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God, because the righteous live a different way. And how do the righteous live? By faith. Righteous live by faith. Do you see how freeing that is? Now, it's truly liberating to live trusting in God and what he has done, rather than trusting in myself and what I am able to do for him. It's liberating to come into that understanding. And the just, that's the way they live. Trusting God. You know, we have been liberated. We've been made righteous by what God has done in his Son. And now what this is saying is that we can live in the freedom and the security of that way of life by the grace of God. And as we'll see, by the empowering presence of God the Holy Spirit. In God we trust. I'm glad that's on our money. That's the way the righteous live. That's the way the just live. In God we trust. Verse 12. The law is not based on faith. Yeah, because God is not the lawdoer for us. It's not based on faith. On the contrary, it says the person who does these things will live by them. Now look at what verse 13 says. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Hallelujah. By becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. See, it's the Holy Spirit who empowers us to live a truly liberated life. But now here's the other side of the coin. That's the one spectrum, free from tyranny, right? But see, what Christ has done in the grace of God, in the presence of the Holy Spirit, does not free us, does not liberate us to live any way that we want to. Because that would be anarchy, right? The Holy Spirit doesn't free us to do whatever we think is right in our own eyes. He frees us to live a new way. And that new way is the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. In a way that God sees, that's right in His eyes. The Holy Spirit doesn't free us to live in anarchy. We're freed for a totally different lifestyle. And that lifestyle is the righteousness of God. Now, he freed us from the tyranny of sin and law so that we can do the very thing that we were created to do. What were we created to do? All those things. But the one I'm getting at is we were created to bear His image to creation itself, to be His image bearers on the earth, to represent who He is and His nature and character to everyone and everything around us. It's what we were created for, to represent Him to creation, to be His image bearers. And that means that we're recreated in His Son, not to live any way we want, but to live in true righteousness, a righteousness that represents God's nature and His character. And there's a big difference between living in this righteousness versus the outwardly imposed righteousness of the law. Because remember, the outwardly imposed righteousness of the law was put on someone who still was in bondage to sin. The good news is, now we're free from sin. And now we have not just law, the lawgiver, the very person of God, living in us to empower us in accordance with the new creature that we are in Christ. That's what we've been freed for. It's what we've been liberated for. Freed from tyranny, not to live any way we want, but to live to be who we were created to be, as God's representatives on the earth. That's what true liberty is. Now God is, anarchy is no authority at all. We have the greatest of authorities in us now. And that authority is the personal presence of God Himself. Not some outward set of rules and regulations. The very person of God. His voice in us. His power in us. Who has changed us, is changing us, and who teaches us and empowers us how to live. Now God's given us that authority, His own righteousness, and it's empowered us to live in a way that represents Him. You know, it's foolishness to think that God set us free for anarchy. And yet, you see people who are in Christ. I mean, they think that now they can just live any way they want to. I'm sorry. That's not what God set us free for, to live any way we want to. God has freed us from that self-centeredness. He's freed us from that selfishness because could there be anything more contrary to the nature and the character of God than self-centeredness, than selfishness, self-preservation? All those are fundamentally contrary to God's nature. There's no way we could live in that and be representing God at the same time. The very core of who God is, love, There's no way that love can be present in anarchy. There's no way that love can be present in selfishness, in self-centeredness. It's impossible. They're mutually exclusive. Look at Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. See, we've been set free, and we're not to be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. See, the whole message of Galatians is that Christ and the promised Holy Spirit has set us free from the tyranny of sin, and from the tyranny of law. And he set us free from the tyranny of flesh, of self-centeredness. Now, the liberty we enjoy now came at an incredibly great cost. The blood of God's own Son. But that liberty has a great purpose that's equal to the cost. And that purpose is that we, as the people of God, as those who are in Christ Jesus, have been set free from the tyranny of what used to enslave us and been empowered by the personal presence of God so that now we can love like He loves. And there's no way that someone living in love can be living under the authority of self. It's not possible. Verse 13, Galatians 5, down at the bottom. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh or your self-centeredness. Okay? We're called to be free. The last thing God wants you to do is use your freedom to indulge your self-centeredness. That would make absolutely no sense. Rather, do what? Serve one another humbly in love. See, grace is the antidote to tyranny. Love is the antidote to anarchy. Rather, there's no way you could live in anarchy and being serving one another humbly in love. Serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law, everything that it pointed to, you know, the law, there wasn't anything wrong with the law itself. It pointed to the righteousness of God. The problem was the law's powerlessness to help us live under it. And what did the law point to? The entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Why is it that we've been spending so much time talking about what it means to live according to the Spirit? It's because the Spirit is the person of God who not only has brought to us this freedom won by Christ, has made it real for us by His presence, but He also empowers us to live in accordance with the new nature. And the greatest responsibility we have as the people of God living on the earth today is to relate to the Holy Spirit, the person of God who's been given to us, to walk according to Him. Because when we walk according to Him, we won't gratify that selfishness. We'll live empowered by Him to be the new people that He's created us to be. You know, I think one of God's greatest griefs, now, this is me thinking. I don't want to tell God what He's thinking, okay? This is the way I see it. Has to be that such a vast, you know, not only such a large number of His people live as if He wasn't really presently, personally with them. live not relating to his person, the Holy Spirit, who he's given us. Now, the Spirit is who makes effective for us all that Christ has won for us. And the Spirit empowers us to live as these new beings, totally free from tyranny and totally free from anarchy, so that we can be who God created us to be, his image bearers, those who reflect his nature and his character. All right. Anybody have any questions? Answers? Yes, you have a question? Everything. That's good. That's a good answer. Because yeah, all things are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Okay. All right. So next week, be reading Romans 8, 26 and 27. Because we need the Spirit's help. And what it says is the Spirit helps us in our weakness. God wants to help. Could there be better news than that? The one who is over all things, who created all things, wants to totally give of himself to help. That's the nature of his love. And that's the one who we're called to, whose image we're called to bear. So, Father, we thank you. Thank you for this amazing love, for this amazing liberty you've given us. Lord, there's no way we can thank you enough for the freedom that you've brought, the freedom that you've given us from that power of sin and from the tyranny of living under law. Frustration of it, the curse of it. Lord, I thank you that that your plan all along was to bring us freedom and liberty in your Son, and to impart that liberty to us by your personal presence, the Holy Spirit. Lord, we so want to recognize all that you've done and submit to this awesome authority of who you are in our lives. Lord, teach us the nature of authority. Teach us what it means to be submitted to such an awesome God. Lord, so that we can submit to one another in love, and so that your body would truly represent who you are. You are the head of all things. And we love you, Lord. We exalt you and we magnify you. We give you thanks. Now, may the love of God and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.